Welcome, everyone, to Awakening Talks with Compelling People. I'm Connie Shaw, and tonight's guest is Suzanne Shaw of Danville, Indiana, whose story will have you riveted. Suzanne is a medical intuitive and an intuitive life coach who's been working with Mother Mary and Ascended Masters and Angels for decades. She's an only child who had a very unusual upbringing and began to see beings from other realms when she was 4 years old. Suzanne has a great deal to share with us in part two of our session tonight. Our program is entitled Working with Mary and the Angels with Suzanne Shaw, part two. Welcome to the show, Suzanne.
Hi there.
Suzanne, I'd like to start tonight's show by mentioning that Mother Mary has said she is working with over 400 visionaries and mystics and intuitives around the planet now. Some of them are Catholic, some are Protestant, some are non-aligned. Some are clergy, some are laity. Some of the more well-known visionaries that are conferring regularly with Mary are, for example, Janie Garza of Austin, Texas, Sadie Jaramillo of Santa Maria, California, Christina Gallagher of County Mayo in Ireland, and, of course, the Australian mystic Valentina Papagana. And then in Italy, we have Father Stefano Gobbi, who's very well known. I'd like to begin by reading something from a magazine that I have in my hand right now called Signs of the Times Update, which is published in Herndon, Virginia, by Maureen Flynn. Recently, Christina Gallagher of Ireland received an important message about the imminence of a Third World War and the nearness of the warning. The October 10, 2008 message from Our Lady appears below, quote, "My children, I am your mother of truth and love. I plead with you to read the signs of your times. The world is on the brink of its destruction. The evil one is on every doorstep. Your hearts are full of aggravation concerning the things of your world and who is right or wrong. Are you unable to recognize all the signs that are before your eyes? My house of prayer, my message, and my messenger are under attack. My messenger endures beyond human endurance. She will be held in the light of God and truth. The Third World War is imminent. Its destruction is unthinkable. So many of you occupy your hearts in condemnation of my children who uphold my message in the most horrible circumstances. I invite you through my call of love and truth to enter my confraternity in love and peace, surrendering to do all that is possible to protect my messenger." And then I'd like to say that Mother Mary also has given a recent message on October 25th of 2008 to the messengers of Medjugorje. And she asked them to pray continually so that they can remember everything that is beautiful and good, to arm themselves with prayer and fasting so that they can stay conscious of how much God loves everyone and so that they're able to carry out God's will. I'd like to ask you now, Suzanne, if you would be willing to reiterate some of the things that you mentioned on our last show when you talked about the points of hope that you see for people who might be overwhelmed or angry or confused in these times, and some specific things that they can do. So what would you say you would like to mention to people that you mentioned last time? I do recall that you stressed that we're not alone and that we're loved by Jesus and Mary, all people of all faiths, of course, and you talked about the power of prayer. Could you say a little more about that and about how people can actually call on Jesus and Mary and the saints and the angels? You had said that it's not just people like you who are gifted with the ability to see and hear them, but anyone can have their help. So if a person doesn't have much confidence about that, if they don't know how to pray, if they don't meditate, how could you encourage them to make a contact?
You can just sit. If you're not a person who formally meditates, because there are a lot of times people are meditating, they don't even realize they're meditating. In other words, meditation has a lot of different you know, meanings to different people, from transcendental meditation that has become so well known in the last few years,
mm-hmm.
Prayer can be a meditation, but also just sitting and listening to beautiful music, calming, what I call meditative music, maybe the type of music that you may have on if you go to get a massage. Some people call it the New Age music, classical music, but listening to music and just sitting, and while you're listening to that music, visualizing your whole body, the entire room, your home, your family, your pets, all being encapsulated in an egg of light.
Oh, very good.
And you can bring different colors in if you want. Make the pink for love, greens for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have trouble visualizing, think of the blue sky. Think of tropical waters, you know, Caribbean waters. Whatever it takes to bring the color in, or the blue-white light of lightning, and put that around an egg. And when you think it, even if you can't see it, you have to realize when you think it, it actually manifests.
In other words, it's your intention coupled with visualization. If you're able to visualize, that has the powerful effect. Is that right?
It does. But if you can't visualize, that's okay, because a lot of people really can't visualize, and it's okay. If you think it, if you say, I'm putting an egg of light, and it's a blue-white light of lightning around my body in an egg shape,
mm-hmm.
then it will materialize. It will happen, and you just keep doing that every day or throughout the day. But listening to soothing music, if you're listening to soothing music, calming music, then what begins to happen is you calm your own energy field. You calm your own aura. You move out from a state of internal fear and anxiety into tranquility. And the more peaceful you are, the more tranquil you are, you literally create tranquility not within your household, as well, it radiates out to the neighborhood, and then it, you know, truly connects with the collective. So there are simple things you can do, even if you don't normally pray, or you don't believe in prayer, or you don't meditate. You can't sit still. Maybe you're ADD or ADHD, and you can't sit still, and you've never learned to meditate. That's okay. Putting on the calming music, putting yourself in an environment that is soothing, bringing fresh flowers in is a great thing to do. You know, bringing fresh flowers in. if it's winter and you can't get the fresh flowers, and you go, I can't afford them, pictures of flowers. You can cut them from magazines. There are a lot of different things where you can put the image of the flower around you, you know, which is very soothing. Using lavender fragrance in the bathwater, lavender in the bedroom, or rose. Those are two calming fragrances, and rose connects you to the divine. Not only Mother Mary, but many of the great masters that are on the planet, you know, connect. It's the flower. Rose is the flower of love, and its essence and its fragrance and its geometries link you right into the whole divine love, the unconditional love that we are so lacking here on the planet.
That's very helpful. In other words, to utilize beauty in the arts and music and fragrances in order to stimulate our senses to calm and tranquility and serenity. That brings us then to ask how we might be able to remember our dreams and utilize our dreams for guidance and perhaps even warning.
Your dreams, one of the things to do, before you go to sleep at night, ask to remember. You know, literally go into a centered place within you, and right before you go to sleep, sit there and say, I want to remember my dreams. And be sure to have either a little tape recorder by the bed, or a notebook, so that you can train yourself, program yourself to wake up at the end of the dream, or maybe even in the middle of the dream, roll over, talk into the tape recorder, or write them down. It's a process of, number one, asking for it, and then training yourself to be aware that you need to write them down. Because a lot of times you don't have to write the details down. If you get something down in the middle of the night or the early morning, whenever your dreaming is, depending on your time schedule, sleep schedule, you write them down, and then when you get up in the morning, a lot of times those sketchy notes boom, there's the dream right back, and you can write more details. So as many details you can write about it, the dream, the better off you are, because you will get a lot of imagery or messages that will come forth that will keep you safe, that may be a warning to leave the area or make sure that you have fresh water or water purifier or you have a dream about the Red Cross, and it may be go online and get the backpack preparedness kit the Red Cross recommends that you have. So some simple things like that.
Can you think of a time when you experienced a precognitive or prophetic dream or a dream of warning which you heeded and that had some consequences in your life? Or if you can't think of a dream off the top of your head, since you were tending in the direction of preparedness for coming times, let me ask you this, Suzanne. What are some basic essentials that you think people should prepare for, and what is it that they're preparing for in these times of urgency and potential emergency? Were you thinking of first aid kits, or were you thinking of extra food in the pantry, or what was crossing your mind?
What was crossing my mind was that that extra food in the pantry, extra emergency kits for first aid, flashlights that can be solar, battery and or solar or crank powered, because you don't know whether you're going to have sun, you don't know if you're going to be able to get new batteries.
Right.
So it's important to be able to have something that will crank, but also something that possibly can be charged by the sun, because you may be in an area where there continues to be sun.
Oh, yes.
We just don't know, small water purifier that can be thrown in a backpack in case you have to vacate the house because of some kind of earthquake or some kind of a change. So you have a water purifier that may be larger that you wouldn't cart around in a backpack, but something that's smaller that is good that you can throw in, like a really good camping water purifier, like Katadyn is one, that you can pick up.
And what about some sort of cooking measure or means if the electricity goes out or there are fires or floods or you find yourself having to evacuate without any officials around to direct or guide and you have to go to some other destination? Well, what would a person need to have in order to prepare food and stay warm and so on?
One thing is a small camping stove. There are different ones. There are some teeny tiny ones that are around that several different sizes that you can get in camping stores, Target, even Kmart. There are a lot of different ones that are available. But something small that is portable, that really is portable, because there's some that, you can technically pick up, but if you had to throw it on your back and carry it, you're not going to get very far. So there are camping stoves that are small, and so you can look into that, go online and look, go to a camping store and ask or call them, go online and go to one of your local camping store's website. And there are a lot of small camping stoves that you can have to prepare food that's available. So it's starting to do some of your research and making sure if you've done your research that you've purchased the items, because some people have done the research and they may not have purchased the item.
So yes, because the banks are closing and have been now for several weeks. I gather that you feel that we're in a period of urgency. You would counsel people not to delay these preparations. Is that right?
Well, I would say don't delay having some of the basic things that you need to do them now. Things are available right now still, so you can access them. But when the real panic starts, and to a certain extent, there's some of it already, but as it really gets going, you may not be able to get it. It may not be able to be shipped from China, for example, or wherever it's being made. It may not be able to be shipped across country from, it's in a warehouse in New Jersey, and it's never going to get to Utah, because of shipping. Lines are by air and by land are interrupted. So They may have the camping stoves or the water purifiers available, but they are not going to get to the store in your area. You won't be able to get it. So it's like begin quickly, not slowly, because this is not the 20-year plan anymore. It's no longer the 10-year plan anymore. It's no longer the 5-year plan. It's like you need to have these things purchased and available and have things divided up into what I call house plan, meaning you're stationary in the house, and backpack plan, meaning you might have to have it thrown in the backpack to walk or in the car or wherever that you, in other words, it is truly portable. Because there's no guarantee that the government and Red Cross is going to be able to provide, and so you want to make sure you have some essentials like water, like some way to cook the food, seeds that are non-GMO that you can regrow, you know, that you can mm-hmm. harvest if you need, sprouts that you can, because you can live on sprouts. If you can sprout the seeds, you can live on sprouts, and you don't even have to cook those. It might be kind of boring, but you could survive on that for a long, long time.
So in other words, in your backpack plan, you could have a lot of lightweight, portable foods that don't need to be cooked, and you could, of course, use matches, toilet paper, and mittens and gloves and hats and flashlights you mentioned, and extra fuel, and then a point of destination so that you have a place that you could go, and a means of communicating, of course, with family and loved ones once you reach that spot. So it sounds as if you're indicating that any number of things could go awry. I know that you live in an area that has been earthquake-prone for well over 100 years, and that you also are aware that since your area was flooded this past summer in 2008, that floods can occur very quickly without warning. And, of course, we've had fires in California and Texas and several other states. We've had unusual weather anomalies, spikes in temperatures. We've had hurricanes and tornadoes. And we have been told that earth changes have accelerated to 400% in the past 10 years, that they continue to accelerate and are off the charts. Is there any other type of situation that might be of an emergency nature that people should be aware of? A potential emergency situation besides tidal waves, earthquakes, and volcanic eruptions?
Well, I think we have a lot of nuclear power plants around.
Oh, yes.
There are a number of them, for example, in the Chicago area, and those were in bad shape physically, structurally, were
yes.
in bad shape even as early as like 91, 92. I lived in Chicago for 25 years. And in the Chicago Tribune paper, there were articles about the concrete and how they were, you know, constructed so poorly and things had been done. So they were already in a state of decay. And you add the power plants and a few earthquakes. They may not be sitting necessarily on a fault line.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, if they are close enough, Chicago, the New Madrid is down in southern Illinois, St. Louis area, and it's one of the largest ones in North America as far as fault lines go, the most deadly. It usually goes about every 150 years.
Was it 1812 when that
was? It was 1812. 1812, they guesstimate that because we didn't have the seismographic equipment back then, they guesstimate that some of the rumbles were a 9 or a 10.
Oh, my.
Would be, and then on a daily basis, there were 8s for probably 2 years. It reversed the course of the flow of the Mississippi, reversed mm-hmm. the flow of the Mississippi. Instead of going south, flowing south, it went back north, because normally it goes south into the Gulf. And the Mississippi River reversed its flow for 2 years, and the banks went out, I think, approximately 2 miles on either side. That's how wide the Mississippi was.
Tremendous.
And for 200 miles in Kentucky, when you head from the western part of Kentucky and you start east, there is a band of these hills that are there, and those
yes.
were literally like a magic carpet ripple where the earth literally buckled in waves like a wrinkly carpet for approximately 200 miles. I believe it's around that distance. And so it did through Thomas Jefferson out of bed in Virginia, rang the bells in the churches in Boston. Mm. So it did a tremendous, and it went on for 2 years, and it was radical changes that were going on. So that said, not only the devastation that is definitely a problem, a very obvious problem, because it's 30 years overdue and it could happen any time, but the nuclear power plants, because we know there are earthquake damage, but people frequently forget about the power plants. The power plants in Chicago, there are a number of them. I've forgotten how many, the number, I want to say 10, 12, but it's a lot, that ring the city of Chicago out in the suburban areas. The thing is that Chicago would get a really big jolt, you know, from a New Madrid or one of its tributaries going.
And people should then, excuse me, get inside if they hear of a radiation leak.
Right, a radiation
and,
leak.
Stay, or if there were any bombs or bombings, then that also would produce radiation.
Right.
And people should stay inside and make sure that they are securing their doors mm-hmm. and their windows and have enough non-cooked food to eat, and they have water, and if the electricity goes out, that they're able to see with their flashlights and candles and so on. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. So, you know, it's like the radiation piece is something to pay attention to and just be mindful. And many people will have dreams on those kind of things. You mentioned earlier, you asked me if I had any dreams that kept me protected. I have had, you know, many dreams over the years, and, you know, the space shuttle, when it exploded in 1986.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 weeks before that, on a nightly basis, I kept having the same dream, but I couldn't see what it was. I kept seeing the explosion. And at that time, the Chicago Bears were going down around the same time they were, I think it was the Bears were going down for, these are the Bears or the Bulls, one of the basketball or football team was going down, was flying around that same time that the shuttle blew up. And so I kept thinking it's the team flying, or it's, I couldn't figure out what it was because it didn't look like the shuttle. I didn't, in my mind, I wasn't thinking shuttle. But I kept calling my mom and friends and saying, what does this look like? What does this sound like? What does this seem like? And I would be sitting on the bleachers mm-hmm. and then I would look up and I would see this thing explode. And so I couldn't navigate to figure out. And there are some hotlines you can call if you see, have visions or you have dreams and, you know, maybe can help stop something. But I couldn't get a location on it. I couldn't figure out what it was. And I was watching the shuttle lift, and when it exploded, it was exactly what I'd been dreaming for night after night after night.
That was a prophetic dream then that was fulfilled, and then you realized that you had been warned that something very significant that was more far-reaching than your own life was going to be taking place, and it was only afterwards that you were able to put the puzzle pieces together and understand the dream.
Yes, and that's happened numerous times with various things all over the world, and that started happening as a child, and it, you know, it's continued throughout my life. That's just one profound example that so many people, listeners, might know about, the, you know, the shuttle when it exploded. And the other thing, I remember one time when I was in Chicago, I was in a condo, and
we have one minute left.
I frequently sit on the sofa in the living room, and sometimes mm-hmm. I would fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And I remember one night I was asleep, and I had this dream of something exploding and then falling in. And it woke me up, and I went in the other room because I'd fallen asleep in the living room, and I walked in the other room. And we'd had snow that was really heavy snows right then. And right when I went in the bedroom, the ceiling collapsed.
Oh, my word. So that was a very practical and urgent.
That was a really practical safety
yes.
thing.
Well, Suzanne, it's always fascinating talking with you, and we are out of time right now. So I'd just like to ask you what primary thought you'd like to leave people with tonight before we wrap up in a sentence.
Stay out of fear.
Stay out of fear.
Stay
very
out
good.
Of fear.
Know that you're not alone and that you are loved.
You're loved. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, we're all held in the big hands of God. Suzanne Shaw, thank you so much for yet another fascinating program. This concludes our show, Awakening Talks with Compelling People. You've been listening to our guest, Suzanne Shaw of Danville, Indiana, who is an extremely gifted medical intuitive life coach, and Marian visionary. I'm your host, Connie Shaw. Thanks for spending time with us this evening, and be sure to schedule time to be with us next time. Remember, you have a unique set of skills, talents, and experiences which other people need. Fulfill your life purpose by doing selfless service in your community today. Your love will help to assuage the suffering in someone's life. You are love itself. Share it and watch it multiply in your life. Good night. Suzanne, I am going to disconnect and then I'll call you back on my phone.
All right, say bye.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.